Well, welcome everybody to another episode of Around Town. We have a special guest. I got double doctors in the house, Dr. Jennifer and Aaron Bishop in the house today. Thank y'all for being here. We appreciate it. Y'all have been a staple in our community in multiple ways in your public service, but you know, really based out of Grace Christian. Having a hard time talking today, but also some of the programs that y'all put together, Rare Leaders, Sold Out Saturdays, and then obviously the Bishop Speaks, which is very interesting to us. And I think what we'd love for to do is talk about how you ended up here and getting involved. Hey, you know, all right, we're going to build a church. We're going to build a school, and we're going to do all these things, because I'm still trying to figure out when y'all sleep when I look at this. But it'd be great for our listeners to understand and learn who Aaron and Jennifer Bishop are.
Mm. Well, honey, you can go first, because you're how I got here.
I'm going to lead into it because I love the way she starts the story. But first of all, thank you, Mayor, for allowing us to come in here. And, you know, if I call you Daniel, please forgive me. I think there's an authentic relationship between me.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
But, you know, what I can start off by saying is that we are college sweethearts. We attended Savannah State University in Savannah, Georgia, where I went down there on their baseball scholarship.
All right, time out. For all the texts I get from you about Benedict stuff, you went to Savannah? Oh, man.
So that's another part of the story. I go down there. And I meet this Georgia peach, who is like Columbia, South Carolina. And I don't have to go through the whole story of our courting, but it came down to a bet, which is what I'm allowing her to tell the story about. So what was the bet, Jennifer?
Freshman year?
Sophomore year? We met my freshman year, his sophomore year. Okay. And I played volleyball. So we were both scholar athletes and went through courtship, and he proposed. So it's time to find out, you know, where are we going to live? Where are we going? And we had a bet, and the bet was who would get the job first. And Aaron got the job first as a dorm director for Benedict College. Yeah. And so if it wasn't for Benedict, we wouldn't have been able to afford to start our life together. So that's why we have a rich endearment for Benedict, because it helped us start our life here in Columbia.
Now, what's your hometown, Jennifer?
Where Atlanta.
Atlanta.
ATL, shorty.
Now, true Atlanta? Or are you like question. Somebody from Charleston? I live in Somerville, but I'm from Charleston. Question.
So, yes. Well, okay. I graduated from Riverdale High School. Uh-huh. I went to elementary school in Atlanta. I went to my mother, who was in Atlanta, a police sergeant. She was a Red Dog. We lived in Marietta, then moved to Riverdale, where I eventually graduated from. But I'm from Atlanta and surrounding areas. How about that? The metro part of Atlanta.
The greater Atlanta.
There you metro. Go.
I had to ask, because everybody says that.
Question.
Then you ask, well, where in Atlanta?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's good.
Well, I mean, then you've really seen Atlanta blossom.
Oh,
and,
man.
And, there, you know, we had this long discussion here previously before about all the growth in Atlanta and how some of those pockets, how we'd love to see some of that on our North Main stretches and other places. It's, you know, Howell Mill Road and places like
absolutely.
That. It's just boomed up.
But it's exploded. Going home to visit, just the transit on the highways and it's just amazing how it has evolved. But, you know, also to the credit of the city of Columbia, we got married in 2000. Yep. And so I've been here since 2000. So over the 23 years to see the evolvement of Columbia is amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
Where was your first house? We got to ask that question before y'all get into all.
Well, when we left the dorm, we had a stint at Bonneville Estate.
Okay.
And Bishop Redfern was our neighbor.
Deuce.
Yeah. And even someone we just memorialized, a friend of ours, was Kevin.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Kevin Gray. So
Kevin was our second guest, right?
Oh, was he?
Second guest on our show.
Didn't he have a very appropriate celebration of life yesterday? It was the community.
It was. I told Camille and Brian, I said, y'all, this is what your daddy would have wanted. Even though he wouldn't want it, he'd be telling us all why we aren't back at work and why isn't the restaurant open and we should be out there getting money for the Finney set. I mean, the list would go on.
Yeah.
But I think it truly reflected him, and his brothers even said that.
Yes, yes. And his brother made the head movement like, you know, Kevin, and I just laughed about it. But, you know, what a giant in our community. And maybe
we've
even
lost a lot of those in the last 6 months.
And, you know, that's a great segue because that was one of the things that I saw my purpose of returning back home in. It was in the giant of Vince Ford. Vince Ford was actually my mentor since 1992.
Wow.
Yeah, since 1992. And I got into a situation in school that, you know, some kids always face. And Vince Ford came to me and said, I want to take you somewhere. And he brought me to Richland County School Board, SAB, a block away. And he says, this room can either make you or break you. The choice is yours. And I made a decision to say I wanted to make me. Went back to school, went to Savannah State, found a Georgia Peach, came back, started doing the work in the community. So, you know, man, we look at those giants and what we have as a community here. You know, I would love to know what the lineage looks like now and what will we do to build more leaders in our community. So
it brings up a great point. You know, we see it, you know, we saw it in the neighborhoods where there was no succession plan for a lot of our strong. I mean, when I first ran in 2004, we had these incredible ladies that were strong advocates for their neighborhoods, and they didn't take any crap from anybody. I don't care if you were elected or not. I mean, this is, and there wasn't a succession plan. And at some point, we got to build up some kind of leadership academy here and show we got to build up the next leaders. But getting them involved, first step is get them stay here, you know, and get them to be involved. And I think that's a great opportunity. But, you know, tell us about this. You know, you moved back here. You started off at Benedict. How did y'all get in the church? How did Rare Leaders and sold Saturdays and all of that happen? Well, I mean, because there's a lot going on here.
Yeah, it is. So my parents, I have to pay respect and acknowledge my parents. Robert Bishop and Asley Bishop were grassroots,
absolutely
foundational, loving leaders of this community. Matter of fact, one of your predecessors, Mayor Bob Coble, recognized my mother during his last hurrah, his victory lap. He had this big celebration at the convention center, I believe. He recognized her as one of the leaders that helped him lead.
Mm. Wow.
And, you know, my dad was a man of faith. He was a pastor. Mm-hmm. And so when I began to work in this community, I found myself, you know, really looking for purpose. Really looking for what made me feel like I was fulfilled. And I began to meditate on my faith. Mm-hmm. And then I was revealed God's calling on my life. But in that transition, I lost my father. My mother began to try to help hold the ministry up. And I tell my wife, I said, I believe I got my calling. And she's like, from who?
AT&T called you?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Right? And so we go into the ministry, but we didn't want to do church.
It was your dad's church?
It was mm-hmm. my dad's church.
Okay, that part I did not know. And then did y'all went to CIU during that? So you took it over and then went to CIU? Because both of you got your doctorates from there, right?
Yeah, we both got our doctorates.
I was out on that campus last week.
Isn't it beautiful?
Got a new tour of all the facilities, the nursing. I mean, that's a whole other episode. But wow.
Yeah, we're gonna definitely talk about those Rams. CIU was actually a conversation we had about going back to school together, because the last time we had our matriculation in college was bachelor's. She got her master's. I got to work. I got my master's while she worked. It was like, let's
go together.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things I want to tell you, though, Mayor, is that we didn't want to do church as church. Mm-hmm. We believe that the church has to live outside the four walls. And so when you look at what we are doing, which is sold out Saturday, Jennifer established a academy, which is called Grace Academy, in what was South Carolina's highest teen pregnancy rate. Mm-hmm. There were babies raising babies. So when we look at the pathway to K-12 education, what are we doing before then? And she had a vision which we took in and said, let's go forth with this. And, you know, I still pay homage and acknowledgement to my mother and father because they lived what Vince Ford taught me. How are the children? And it wasn't just about the children. It was about the community, about the seniors, the women, the men. They fed them not just by substance and food, but they also fed them spiritually. And so I could talk on and on. I may be rambling.
No, you're good.
But that's what we did. We did that. And we are evolving. That's why we have Rare Leaders. And Jennifer can tell you a little bit about Rare Leaders. It is, again, something that pays respect to our parents. My father was named Robert. Her dad is named Arthur. Her mother's name, Randa. And my mother's name, Ella. So Rare spells out our parents' first names. Mm-hmm. And it's because we... we're looking at how do our 2 degrees from CIU work together. She studied women leadership. I studied transformation leadership. Well, how does that work together? And we said we want to be rare leaders who do rare things in the community. And so that's what it's about.
Yeah. you nailed it all, hon. When we came here, we came as a couple wanting to find our niche and trying to figure out how do we operate in this new place that we're in. And again, if it was not for his mother and father and just being living examples, people will talk to you all day, but when I see you doing the work and I see the effortlessness of your commitment, it made it easy and it birthed something in me. I will be the first to admit I was not as community engaged in Atlanta and Savannah as I have been since I've been here, and it's because of the people I have been around, and particularly my mother and my father in loves. So I will always be grateful to them for that. And it makes the process easier of fulfilling things that you have a passion for within the community. And being able to recognize what you can do, what you have the capacity to do, and then reaching out to other people and say, how can we do this together? Because, you know, we could all do a lot, and we're busy doing nothing, right? But when we collectively join forces and we have a common goal and it's not backbiting and going back and forth with who's going to get credit for this, let's just get the work done. And so that's one thing that Rare Leaders is about. It's about helping other leaders become transformational, because a lot of us have the capacity to lead, but leading in your season. And then how can we as leaders come together to transformationally change the sectors in which we are all engaged in. So whether it be from the schoolhouse to the church house to the government house to wherever it is, what do we need to do together to make the impact that our community needs? There are a lot of great things that can happen after we stop the bickering, once we get on one accord and once we go forth. So it Rare Leaders is something that we're passionate about, that was birthed through us because of our parents. And as you know, his mother and father helped me find this new passion that I have. My mother's deceased, his parents are deceased, and so now we just have my father left. And it's about not only fulfilling the memory of our parents, but also the living parent that we have left, to let him know that his work is not in vain, that the love that he's taking on for all of our parents who are not here, he can see the manifestation of it. And so that's important to us, because you still need a reason why. We can do things, we can live, we can work, we can walk and so forth, but sometimes you need to know that somebody who puts so much in you sees you, and they see that their work wasn't in vain. So that's important to us.
Well, you know, one of the things that it's clear to me, and y'all have grasped on it, and a lot of people didn't realize it for a long time, but the number one negative really here in Columbia was this collaboration. People didn't collaborate, you know. Everybody thought, oh, well, you know, Lexington's going to compete against us, the county's competing against us, and the reality is that we're stronger together, exactly what you said. And what I'm seeing now more than I've ever seen is everybody working together, realizing that if we lift this whole region – it's amazing what you can do. This, you know, Scout and all that, that's because everybody came together. Yeah. You know, the things that are happening is because people are coming together. We're getting federal grants because we're working together, not against each other. And that's exactly what, that's exactly where you're headed down. And y'all recognize that. And a lot of people didn't. And it's been hard to get people to do that. Mm-hmm. And I just think we're in a different place. And God bless you for doing it. God bless you for doing it. And I think too, I think Jennifer, for you, this became your home. So it drives your passion.
It did become my home. It took me a very long time to change my license plate from Georgia to South Carolina. But when I did, I went all the way in.
Do you owe us back taxes?
I do not, sir. I do not, sir. Because I still had a house in Georgia. No, but I, you go all the way in. And Columbia was a place that you saw the growth and you saw where you could fit in to help and grow doing it. One of the reasons for this, even this part of conversation, is why we built Sold Out Saturdays. And Sold Out Saturdays is an opportunity for us and our partner, Carl Solomon, to come together and help support minority-owned businesses throughout Columbia. And what we will go and do is we will, you know, meet with the company, meet with the organization. On a Saturday, we will go and infuse them with capital. We will go and highlight them on our social media and just drive business to them. And the passion for that really came from because we understood what it meant to be in that seat where you just a little push or a little monetary support would help payroll, or when somebody is coming to your business to say, I see you, great job. Or, you know, referring people to come so that they can support your business. We only did what we wish somebody would do for us, or people who have done for us. We wanted to pay it forward. And it also came birth under our 501c3 because we have these hearts to serve and we weren't as organized as we probably could have been. And so organization helps get the message out even more. And Sold Out Saturday is now an initiative under our organization, Rare Leaders, that we started, that Aaron talked about, so that we can be more organized, bring partners on. So you have some businesses who need, you know, they're small businesses, they're trying to get their footing, who need help with accounting, who need help with, you know, what resources are available. So we try to drive them to those persons and to those organizations so that they can get what they need to be sustainable business and to have longevity and fulfill their dream. So that's something we do once a month. And again, it's called Sold Out Saturday, and it's S-O-U-L-E-D, because we want to help their soul. It's impactful when you see somebody who says, I see you. I'm proud of you. Keep going. Here's some support. And one thing that we'll say when we go in or when we contact them, because people normally, if you call somebody and say, I want to come and highlight you, well, what do you want from me? Our first thing to say, I don't want anything from you except to see you succeed. And it's refreshing to see people have light in their eyes to say, wow, y'all really do this? Yep. And we do it and we get out their way so they continue, you know, making their livelihood as successful as they possibly can. And we follow back up and we continue to support. But it's important to show yourself the way, to show yourself to other people how you want to be seen. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's helped us continue to be successful in the adventure and continue for us to have the energy to do it.
So before we get off the air at some point, we want to figure out how we can share.
Absolutely.
Sold Out Saturday on our media as well. As you know, we try to highlight different businesses and different individuals every week because I'm like you, I believe that our greatest asset are our people and our stories. And we don't tell our story as a community, because every time you knock on a neighborhood door and open a door and talk to somebody, there's another story and there's a business or there's an author or there's, you know, this retired guy who's got, I don't know how many Grammys for artistic album, lives here in Columbia, South Carolina. We just don't know it. But when you can tell people these stories, it connects them. Yeah. And that's what I think people love about Columbia is there's a way to have, we're a capital city, but at the same time, you can know a lot of people and there are a lot of stories and it can be told. And I think what y'all are doing is fantastic.
Thank you.
I mean, touching those lives, it does make a difference. It makes a difference every day. We've seen it in our employees. You know, we highlight an employee at the city. And one of the ones we got, you know, a lot of recognition on was the guy who works the late night shift at taking care of the fleet. This is the guy who's making sure that the police cars and the fire trucks are out there to save you when you need them. We started highlighting him. Every time I see him now, he grins, but he got that sense of pride and he saw all those people on social media tagging him and saying, you know, thank you for what you do.
It's important.
It's the little things that make the biggest difference.
That's important. Well,
you know, it is those little things, and that's why Sold Out Saturdays mean so much to our community. You know, Mayor, I would tell you this. I've always campaigned on this promise that I was the return on investment. You know, as a product of this school district, product of this community, I totally believe I was a return on investment, which means you also grow where you're planted. I'm rooted, I'm grounded here in Columbia, and I'm not going anywhere. All of my friends was like, why won't you go to Atlanta? Why won't you go to New York?
Because I brought my peach home.
That's right. That's right.
That's exactly right, man. And you know, and she grew to love it. And I'll tell you this just for the joke of the moment. When she first got here, she was challenged with just finding a good hairstylist. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why are you going to Atlanta every 2 weeks? She's like, I have to maintain my hair. Mm-hmm. And I was like, we're going to fix this. And, you know, we need to expose that we have just as much as any other neighboring city.
And attract the businesses we don't.
Yes.
So people don't have to.
Right.
I think the future for us, every kid, our grandkids, you name it, they ought to have every opportunity that they want right here. They shouldn't have to go to Atlanta or Charlotte or New York. They ought to be able to have it here. And I think that's what we all aspire to is what can we bring here that keeps our folks here? Mm-hmm. They ought to have it. And, you know, let's fill the gaps. Let's promote what we got and let's fill the gaps so that we have everything.
Yeah, and that's what we're here for. The doctors, I mean, Jennifer and Aaron, we're here for three things: love, life, and leadership. If anyone ever wants to know what our legacy would be, love, life, and leadership. That's what we are bringing and keeping in Columbia. And so as we also talk about something else we do, Mayor, it's called Love Bites, right? Our Love Bites is a series we do every year to help, you know, get people into the spring of things, if I can say that. And we talk about our challenges, our opportunities, because there's a couple here in Columbia who are business owners, elected officials, board leaders, civic leaders, faith leaders, and just being parents, whatever we are. We want people to know, man, you can really enjoy love, life, and leadership right here in Columbia. Mm-hmm. And so we highlight things, we're looking to evolve to highlighting some of those best known opportunities right here in Columbia. Mm-hmm. So we're looking to go to restaurants and show what's on the menu of the week. We're looking to go to amusement parks or whatever parks are here in the area so we can show people, hey, this is what Columbia offers. Mm-hmm. We can't keep it a secret. We got to tell everybody. And it's not a secret. It's just that we don't have conversations about it.
We have to tell a story.
That's right. Tell a story. Yeah. That's why I married her. She is my better half.
Yeah, Love Bites is amazing. We've been together we'll be married 23 years. We've been together 28 years. And so people will ask us, how do you navigate working together, yeah, living together, parenting together? And so we had so many questions, we decided to do like the mini videos. Mm-hmm. So there's really little bites of love. That's why they're called Love Bites. And we talk about topics, whether it be parenting, it could be
finances,
it could be. We've never been divorced, but we talk about, you know, when you're thinking about divorce or those kind of things so that people can know that relationships, to see a real relationship and persons who, like us, who are not afraid or ashamed to say, these are the struggles we've had. And this is how we have overcome them. And this is how we have done it while doing business. This is how we've done it while leading a church. This is how we've done it while parenting and every other thing that we do. And so Love Bites is amazing. As he said, we are looking at going into the area where we can take that and couple it with highlighting small businesses. So a little marrying of a soul bite, yeah, soul out Saturdays mentality.
That's great. Yeah. You know, and as y'all know, I mean, look, marriage is not easy. And nobody ever said it was, but I do think we went through a period of time where everybody's like, just give up, I'm move on, and divorce is easy. And, you know, we made it this way where there's a lot of value. You look at longevity of life and other things and working through and knowing that you have that partner at home, you know. I don't know. It makes it tough. It makes it tough for some people. So, I mean, it's great. And tying in those small businesses with it, you know, I think that's they're the backbone of our community, and we continue need to grow them, because those are the folks that are going to continue to hire here. They're going to give back here, you know, and they're not going anywhere. They're not like somebody else who's flying by tax credits. These folks live and breathe here. They're not going anywhere, and it's great to highlight it. I hope that you take care of the food gallery for me.
Oh, yeah. That's some good eating, right?
Oh, man. I tell you, Big T's mom and his sister, friends for a long time. But, man, I tell you what, if I need some soul, that's where I'm headed.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
The plates weigh you down as you walk out, man. Just some good eating. But
just like that, there's so many great small businesses that are around, and so when there be date nights or whatever the case is, being able to highlight those businesses so that they stay in business,
and it's important.
Yeah, it's critical. So
I challenge people on Martin Luther King Day, because somebody challenged me, is to say, hey, you know, go have lunch with a different bunch.
I like that.
You know, and I still want to figure out how to encourage that more. And I may do it where I say, you know what, I got 6 seats open and I'm going to eat over here, and try to get people from different areas to come and experience different parts of our community, because there's so many hidden gems in this town. I mean, even shops and people and services, and how do we get more people to involve in that? Now, what y'all are doing is highlighting that. So how do we grow that, you know, and really, you know, get people to realize that, you know, so I was talking to a group of small business people. I'm like, you know, do y'all have a network together? I mean, because if I'm a caterer and I can't do it, I ought to be calling my friend who's a caterer to pass that business on to him. I shouldn't just say, hey, I'm booked, I can't do it. Pass it on to somebody, you know, help them grow. You know, I mean, how do we create that network where I call it, you know, you used to live in a village, you know, now we all live in houses and separated. Mm-hmm. How do we bring that back? And I think that's what Kevin always was working on.
Yeah.
How do we bring back that sense of community?
You know, I think it's going to start with the children. You know, my heart is for the children, and it takes a village to raise a what?
Child.
But you always ask the question, who's raising the village? Mm-hmm. Right. And so as we look at that community aspect, we can start with children, because everyone loves the children. What did Whitney Houston say? I believe children are the future.
Well, I thought you were about to sing for me.
Oh, I'll give you, hold on. Teach them well, man.
No.
But you know,
that's
going
to be on my highlight reel.
But Mayor, you know, as I serving on the school board for 12 years, I want my child and all the children to grow up in a city they can be proud to call home, right? Because I am that child that went away on the scholarship. It was like, I'm going back home. Mm-hmm. And the retention of our talent is critical to the growth of our city.
No doubt.
And my son always professes, and I always tell everyone, he is the next Jadeveon Clowney, okay? He's 6'4", 180 pounds, and he...
At 14,
wears a size 15 shoe. Therefore, we have to work all the time to feed this kid. But we are...
You know, Shane Beamer listens to the show. So,
oh,
Coach,
does?
You hear that, right?
Yes, yes. Peyton Bishop.
We got one
Bishop,
for you.
He will be at your football camp this summer. And last year, he was the...
Look for the small kid in the front.
Yeah.
Peyton won co-MVP honors of the 8th grade camp last year for USC. So we're proud to be parents of such an exceptional young man.
Doesn't it make you feel good when you look at your kids and go, dang, I did something right?
Yeah. We'll sit at games and we're like, dude, we did it.
And you know, parenting is tough, right?
Parenting,
you know, sometimes
you're
like, are you not listening? They're listening, right? And, you know, I know I got a lot of feel-good stories, but Jennifer tells the stories better. She has to tell you about him being a humanitarian.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Because, you know, he sees us serving our community. And it translates to him in his school.
Yeah.
Tell him about it.
So he went to Logan. He was in 4th grade then. And he comes home one day and he says, Mom, we have to go buy him some shoes. And I said, buy who some shoes? And he told me about one of his classmates that was being bullied because he had holes in his shoes. And so I contacted the principal or the teacher, I can't remember who, but I got the number of the parent because I my son was adamant on going to buy some shoes. And I asked her, would she be okay if we gifted him some items? My son wanted to do it. And she said yes. And she said that they had a large family and he was one of the younger ones. And so sometimes it's difficult. Mm-hmm. And so we went to the store and for me, I said, you know, Peyton, what we're going to do is I'm going to treat him like I would treat you. And so if I'm buying you a black pair of shoes, then you have to get a white pair of shoes too. And so we found some shoes for him and I said,
you're much nicer. My mom would not buy me two pairs of shoes. I promise you.
But
that.
He's the only child, so that he's all we got. So I go
see,
all
you know
in.
What she's doing? She's dividing the house. That's mama's son.
But so we bought the shoes, and then I said, well, you need shirts too. So find us some shirts. And so we went and got these bags and put them in. And so I said, well, Peyton, how do you want to give it to him? He said, well, I don't want to give it to him in front of everybody. I just want him to have it. And so I came to school the next day. Went to the principal's office and they brought both of them down, Peyton and the other young man. And I said, Peyton, here you go. And so he said to the young guy, he said, I remember them picking on you yesterday. And I told you that that'll never happen again in front of me. And I also wanted to make sure you had some shoes so people wouldn't pick on you. And he opened it up. But he did not want to do that in front of anybody. There was no Instagram of it or TikToking of it or recording. He just wanted to do it. And so to know that your son or your child sees you from a humanitarian perspective and it's in him innately, he came and asked us to do it. It gives you that extra energy when you're tired and you don't know if your efforts are really making the difference. But to see your child regurgitate it and put it in play, it makes you keep pushing.
Yeah. It's exactly what you said earlier, though. Is that he didn't talk about it. He did it. It was about going to do it. It was his innate factor that he learned that you do things, you don't talk about it.
You just do it. And you don't have to, it doesn't have to be a video of it. I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
And whether or not I'm credited for, whether or not you ever know who was behind it, it's done. And somebody's life hopefully had a better impact to know that somebody does see you and somebody appreciates you and is willing to protect and provide for you, even if you never see him again. So it helps us fuel ourselves to know that our son is watching.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we teach him one of these things that I live by, which is you got to lift as you climb. Mm-hmm. And what is South Carolina's quote? Belief, while I breathe, I hope. Mm. You know, we have to be able to have both, right? Everybody thinks you can only do one, but I think you can do more. And if we do more, we'll be better. And so that's what we're here for, man, as a couple and a family. We're here to do more in our community. And we're not tired. We're fully fueled up to go a little further.
You know, y'all both been involved in a lot of different businesses and opportunities. And, you know, obviously church today is a business because you got a school and all these things going on. What do you see as some of the barriers that are keeping us from growing? You know, I mean, when I ride through some of our neighborhoods, we've lost a significant population in Columbia. And it's an unfortunate, and a good portion of it's African-American. A lot of it is people didn't want to live in the neighborhood they grew up in. And, you know, we got to make some investment there and build back up and build those. But what are some of the barriers y'all see that we need to be focused on? You know, is it barriers that we have in education? Is it, you know, housing barrier? What do y'all see that y'all have experienced? And it's probably a lot of the things we know, and it may not be, but, you know, what do y'all see? I mean, y'all have got your footprint literally all over the place. So
I would tell you, in my study for my PhD, it was on the role and responsibility of transformational leaders in public-private partnerships in Richland County. And there were several things that came from that study. And one of them was the barriers that are preventing collaboration. And those barriers were found in people not understanding the vision, not understanding the role that they're supposed to play. And then, guess what? The other challenge was that there were people who were sitting at the table as decision makers who weren't transformational leaders. They were transactional. And so they wasn't getting the work done. And so as leaders go, so does the organization. As our leaders really consider, what is your role and responsibility? Is it to be transactional that you're there for a title? Are you there to really do the work? And so when we do the work, one of the things that is happening with our community is that, and this is a faith talk now, Moses in the Bible was a transformational leader. However, he was the only transformational leader with a lot of people to help change. And so his father-in-law shows up and says, Moses, you're going to kill yourself trying to deal with all these issues. He said, stop and train several more men and women like you. And he said, then go back and do the work. So one of those barriers is that we may not be developing the succession of leaders in our community that we need to do the real work. We are under ratio of transformational leaders, and that's what Rare Leaders is trying to do. We're trying to show people how to lift as you climb, how to serve your community and build it from the ground up. It doesn't come from the top down.
Exactly
right.
It
comes from the ground up.
All great cities were built from the bottom up.
That's right. That's right. And so we got to maybe go through the Maslow hierarchy of needs and see what people really need. Because, when you get to the basic needs, shelter, water, food, it's that other part, self-awareness. And there's a book I read called The Self-Aware Leader, where you really have some emotional intelligence about who you are and what your triggers are. And think about it. If you think what you said about why people refuse to collaborate, it's sometimes our emotional health. It's because we can't, deal with the way someone says something, or we don't like the way someone moves. Come on, man. We're in the same city, living in the same world. Everything rises on the sun and goes down with the moon, right? We have to make sure that we are lifting as we climb, and I think we need more development, more training. I would love to see, as an idea that worked in one city, they literally took a bus and mobilized it with a food offering and some music, and when it draw people in, they literally drew out a strategic plan on what to do for that community. And then they would bring leaders who were from the political realm, from the education realm, from the faith realm, and even from the business realm to say, here's what we can do to improve this zip code. I've seen it done before in many communities. I think it can happen again. And so
we got a blueprint, Yeah. So in 2004, there was a plan, East Central, really focused on 29203, parts of 29204, and pockets of 29205, that it was the first time that we as a community all came together and did a charrette process. And it was all their thoughts, their feelings, and growth. We've taken that plan. We've had Tony Lawton out meeting with all the neighborhoods and stuff, making sure that plan set. We're going to submit that as a grant to the HUD for $35 million to help spark so we can get some more money in to do exactly what you said, but then pull the other pieces in with that. Is how do we bring the other communities back? We got to build some more homeownership. We got to deal with our taxes because it's killing our folks. Because the reality is that, less than 47% of all of our properties are homeowners. The rest of them are all renters. They're paying the top tax rate, and they don't even know it. But it's also dampening competition. So we end up with issues like we're dealing with right now, where we got these people. I mean, I'm on the landlord rage right now because we keep finding these landlords, and these people are living in conditions. Mm. Yeah. It's unacceptable. Absolutely. It's just not going to happen in our community anymore. I'm done with it. We're going after, but it's interesting how things stack up and how I've learned a lot about how people hide behind these nonprofits and other things and then pay themselves all these fees through management contracts. And they're not putting it back in the housing. They're not taking. Well, when you have a complex in your community, like the Colony for 3 days during Christmas, didn't have heat or water, and nobody even told the community
organizers unacceptable.
That's when I know we got a problem, when they're so afraid to even tell the people who we rely on to help us with information.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
That was disheartening.
to worst know the thing people I've ever seen in my life.
People going through that, and you know, some of those were our Richland One students.
And you know, if somebody says, well, you ought to just go shut it down, it's been a problem for a year. I said, okay, so we're going to shut down 300 families and do what?
Where?
Disrupt
Where are they gonna go?
Their schooling, their jobs, and everything else. Mm-hmm. That's not how you solve a problem.
Yeah, that would have a generational adverse impact. Mm-hmm. You know, just that little bit of time. Because you think about what we're dealing with is COVID, right? COVID was 3 years ago we shut down schools. Like 2 days, what, 3 days ago? It's been 3 years since we shut down schools. They told us that this impact is going to last for the next 10 plus years.
Yeah.
We haven't seen even the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
And so we're going to need our community. We're going to need everyone to have all hands on deck to fill those gaps, those voids. Because if we think, you know, just that one incident was something that our community is facing, there's a mountain of issues that we as leaders, you know, we lose sleep over. I know you lose sleep over some of the challenges that we supposed to steward over. You know,
my biggest fear every day is that gunshot.
Yeah.
That's what haunts me more than anything that is out there is that we had 18.5% uprise in shootings, you know, and the majority of the kids who are, and they're kids because they're between 18 and 19 when they get apprehended, you know, And I see that, and I'm like, where are we failing? You know, where are those gaps? And I think there's some things that we can do. I mean, look, we got together and we got that money from the governor and got the city and the school
let's
board.
Talk about that.
That JAG program.
Yes.
You know, think if we could do 10 more of those things.
Absolutely.
The effect we can have. The JAG program we put in now in all the high schools in Columbia.
That's right.
You know, and it had what 92% success rate at C.A. Johnson. I think we're going to see higher numbers as a thing because I think this is what was needed to help there. So, granted, that suddenly becomes somewhere between 400 and 500 kids.
Yeah.
That's a start. But how do we find other programs? How do we get those kids and show them that, you know, the kids with the learning disabilities that nobody realizes, you know. I didn't talk about it for years. I have a terrible learning disability. I talk, I don't write. And there's all these reasons. But what I've realized is that there are a lot more people out there.
Absolutely.
We need to show them that there's a path forward and help them take their talents that they do have and turn that into a career or an opportunity, a way for them. Any way we can teach skills. Look, not everybody needs to go to college.
Listen, I just want to insert one thing. It starts earlier on. So we own Grace Academy Child Development Center, and we work extraordinarily hard from an organizational perspective to make sure that we hire and retain persons who want to do this because it's their passion, not just and their profession, not just because Dominion Energy is going to send you a bill. Everybody gets that, but it takes a special person to be able to sit there with children and figure out what is going on when their parents may not even know yet, when there are speech delays, when there are other things that are coming along. How do we address it so when they get to Richland 1 or Richland 2 or wherever they're going to go, that the teachers are prepared, the school district is prepared for who's coming.
And
the children are prepared. Mm-hmm. And the families are prepared. And so it's going to take an all-hands-on-deck mentality from early childhood education centers who are helping to be that village for children and their families all the way up the ladder. Because oftentimes we're the first point of contact. When COVID hit, we were one of the only organizations, child care centers, that stayed open. If COVID hit on the 13th, we start closing down. I remember DHEC calling and DSS calling us and asking, can you stay open because of first responders,
yes,
because of physicians, because of persons who needed to go and respond to what we didn't even know what was happening. And you had professionals, you had persons who were dedicated to their craft and those children ready to respond. So how do we continue to give them, and as a business person, making sure that there's enough profit so that you can sustain, but you can also pay persons beyond a livable wage. You can make sure they're comfortable so they don't have to have 3 or 4 jobs, then come in to then help raise and nurture children. it takes a collaborative effort across the board, across sectors. And that's why I think what you said, Bishop, was important. It's transformational leadership. There are transactions that have to happen, but the overarching piece is that we want to see a transformation because we see it being bigger than just one organization being able to, you know, hit a certain number. We want everybody, because when we go outside, we can do several things for our child, Peyton, to make sure he's fine in the house. But the problem is he doesn't stay in the house. He has to go outside and interact with other people. So what I've found helps me sleep at night is me being engaged and my husband being engaged with the children and the students that he's interacting with. Mm-hmm. How can we help make your life better? Because you're going to be in places with my son where you're going to have to remind him, your mom and daddy wouldn't want you to do that. Go over here, Peyton. Don't go over there. If we impart in them, then that's another part of the return on investment of the things that we did as a community. So in order to get back to the village has to have a meeting. The village has to have a conversation to say, listen, this is what villages do. And if we don't do it, we see the ramifications of that. That's what we're living in now. How can villages come back to being the village? You said earlier, who's leading the village?
Who's raising
the village? Yeah. So the village comes together and the village can go outside and oh my goodness.
You gotta bring the fabric back together. You gotta knit that community fabric back together.
And the thing is, every day, every child, everywhere. Every day, every child, everywhere. Change is evident. That's what transformational means. And I think as a community, we have to become lifelong learners. An educated community is a better community. I've always believed that since I stood on the stage of the Keenan Theater, which is the Grace Theater at Keenan High School, which is now W.G. Sanders, I told people that night when I became Mr. Keenan. You didn't know that, did you? I wore a crown
at
one
time.
Did you get a sash? Yeah, a sash. They gave me roses.
Flowers, a big smile. Is that how he introduced himself when y'all met?
Almost. Mr. Keenan. Yeah, almost. Girl, you know who I am?
I said something prophetically then. I said, education is the key to success.
It is, and every education is a little different.
Oh, yeah, it's no cookie cutter, right?
And I think sometimes we created this atmosphere that everybody thinks, well, if I can't go here to college and do this, then I'm not. But, I mean,
let me tell you, Dan, I was going to highlight something. I don't mean to cut you off, interrupt, but our friend, Christy Savage, is doing the transformational work, right? She's putting something in place because you spoke about those kids those young adults between 18 to 22, 24. Yeah. She's creating that program. Well, it has to speak to what is the entry plan to society as well as the exit plan from K-12, that we literally say, keep on learning, right? Because an educated community is a better community.
And the fact that today the resources are there to help push that person. You know, I mean, it's amazing how many people I've talked to that had no idea that they could go to Technicolleges for free.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, and I had a friend of my daughter's. I may have told this story on here before, but he struggled in school. But he was so worried that it was going to kill his mom if he didn't go to college, and he couldn't do it. I mean, he kept transferring. He kept saying, I did not. So he came and sat down with me, and I sent him to Georgetown Marina. And I said, I want you to go down all the way to the marina, and I want you to go to the last boat in there. It's the biggest boat there, and I want you to call me and tell me what the name of it is. Name of it's Change Order. The guy that owns it is a HVAC guy.
What?
And my point to him was that guy can make just as much money fixing that air conditioning than somebody sitting in an office with a coat and tie on.
Absolutely.
Man. Absolutely.
And we got to show those kids how to use their hands and their talents and their other ways. You know, if you have a learning disability and you don't write well, doesn't mean that you can't talk. You can be a salesman. Yeah. Use those skills to provide the future. There's a better way to do it. And I think we just, you know.
And I think we're being bridge builders, right, as elected leaders. You know, we started with JAG, me and you.
Yeah.
We had that meeting first. Then we brought in our CEOs. Your people met with my people and Dr. Witherspoon.
We got people.
Do you hear? I'm hearing this.
But our administrators, our team, our leaders, they sat down and said, yeah, let's build this bridge. so people can come from one place to another. And I think the more we do that, like we're saying that the city and the school district are going to start meeting together to share resources. But, hey, that's just those two bodies.
Just sharing information, because y'all didn't even know about the program that they had given, that the first 25 schools that was going to get paid for.
Yeah.
You know, and, of course, I was greedy. I took 9. but I was like, look, if we're going to try to do it, Columbia, let's do it everywhere. And that's why I call Aaron. Aaron's like, absolutely. Let's figure out how to make it work. This is one of our best blue ribbon. Your exact words. This is the best blue ribbon program we have.
Yes, yes, yes.
And so, you know, more like that. But I think sharing that, just the information sparks the opportunity to do collaboration. And that's what I'm amazed at, because I think you really, there is everything you need in this town from services. And but I think a lot of it is somewhere we're just not connecting.
Yeah.
We're just not connecting.
I think more opportunities to do what you're doing with this and bringing people together from different sectors who may not always talk, who may not reach one another, is a huge part of how we get this word out, showing that collaboration is not a cuss word. It is not something that we should be ashamed of, or we should, you know, steer away from. That is the only way this thing is going to work, is that if we collaborate together, a finger can push a button, a fist can make movements. And so if we come together and we're able to make that change, I think the dynamics of what our pain points are will change. And it can only be done, again, together. And so from what we do to what you guys are doing, We're here for it. I think that's one of the things that kept me drawn to Columbia, was that I was able to see people who did not necessarily want the recognition. I just want the work done. I want to see people not starving. I want to see people in houses and who are being properly educated, who are graduating, who are coming back and starting businesses. There is something beautiful about seeing your works unfolding in front of you. Yeah, everybody loves accolades. But there's a beauty in the unsaid and just doing it.
At the end of the day, we want to get it done. And, you know, at the right time, look, used to be an old saying, who do you belong to?
I remember that.
Who do you belong to? And it's funny when you ask question, some people are like, oh, my mama. No, you belong to God.
Amen.
And at the end of the day, the only person we got to answer to is him. And I think at that day, he'll recognize what's done. And, you know, yes, you're right. It is nice for people to say that's a great job and thank you. But at the end of the day, we're all doing the work that we're doing today is because we care about this community.
Come on.
I mean, I moved here with no intention of living here, and I'm here 35 years. You know,
I went 3 years later.
But this is home. I've lived here more than everywhere else. I want it to succeed.
Yeah.
That's all I want. Yeah. And I want my daughters, at the point that they want to come back home and raise a family, that they don't have to sacrifice their career to do it. They ought to have the exact same jobs they have now right here and have the ability to grow it without giving up. I mean, they shouldn't work that hard and study that hard and do the things that they sacrifice to get there, to give it up just because they want to be close to home.
Yeah.
And I always tell people, teamwork makes the dream work. I heard that quote, and I said, that is strong. But what's stronger is the courageous conversation that transforms a group of people to a team. To change a group to a team, you have to have courageous conversations so that people will know, this is where you belong, this is where you are active, this is where you are responsible, and this is where we got to hold you accountable, so that everyone can help lift as we climb, that we grow from the bottom up.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was funny. When I was a kid, a gentleman gave me some advice. My dad died when I was young, and he said, look, he said, I'm just going to give you, it's just two simple things you got to remember. He said, if you don't make a life and don't take a life, everything else we can fix. He said, don't make the message complicated. He said, when you're older and you have kids, just remember that. Don't make a life, don't take a life. Everything else we can work together on. Mm-hmm. And it's a simple message like that, you know. And then we add it, because the things we're doing are simple, common sense things, you know. So when you look back at what we learned as kids in that village, you know, you had neighbors who watch out for you. You know, you always knew you were protected. You know, you'd leave it dusk and come home at dawn. nobody looked for us. They weren't watching us on our cell phones. That's or right. We didn't have any, you know. But I mean, you were gone on your bike.
Yeah,
you were gone all day.
All day.
And there were eyes always watching you, always willing to protect and preserve you. Even if your parents weren't present, they were there.
And if you needed something, you could go knock on that door and get it.
Yep. Yeah, and going outside to play was a full-time job for me. I would go out. I grew up in Belvedere, and I grew up and went down to that neighborhood park and played all day. And then it was time to come home when the streetlights came on.
Yeah,
you know, and you know that was life. That was life, and I think we are far from that now as a community.
I think we have to be more intentional. When I think about our son, who he started at seventh grade playing varsity baseball at Keenan, I think he's a phenomenal athlete. But we have become
got that from his mama.
He got it from his
wait
mama.
Wait a minute now, he man.
Yes, with a splash to his daddy. But we became intentional on wanting to make sure that that village of players, those scholar athletes, were getting what they needed. We saw where we could improve and help the schools in doing some things. And it took the intentionality of persons stepping up, the village stepping up, not waiting for somebody else to do it on our behalf. It was just something that needed to be done because there was a need that needed to be met. And that brings ownership. And so now when not only do would the students see it, because they love the fact that somebody's investing in them, but also there to cheer them on as they're performing and as we're performing or playing and so forth. But those parents also see that there are people who are genuinely interested in not only their child, but other people's children getting the benefit of what's the best that we can possibly provide for them. So I think that village, one of the things, one of the ingredients that we need, one of the stitches that need to be a part of that quilted part of the village coming back together is the intentionality of what we're doing. Who are we really doing this for? And why are we doing it? And keeping that in the forefront of our minds so that when things get a little weary and you do get tired and you are, you know, overwhelmed, you can step back and somebody can step up because you've walked the walk together. You're training each other. And it allows you to push forward while stepping back to reset. And then you're doing it for somebody else. But it's intentional. You have to participate in the process of how this is going to come together. And so I shared with some folks from DHEC today that, you know, we're at a place in the self-care part where we're trying to balance. Because one of the things you said, when do we sleep? We are intentional about sleeping. We're intentional about spending time and preserving our marriage because we know we're stronger together. And so when you have the intentional nature of it, everything else is easy because you know what to pick up and put down. You know what I'm able to take on and what somebody else, this is their sweet spot. Invite them in. Say, this is the opportunity for you. It's not something for me. It's something for you. And being okay, because everybody can benefit from it.
One of the things I always coach up in workshops, because we do workshops and trainings, is that
that's every other Tuesday on the third month of the seventh year. Good God.
I know.
You have to I hope I don't make anyone hungry with this analogy, but you have decide whether you're spaghetti or waffle. Mm. And spaghetti, if anyone eats spaghetti.
Can I get chicken with a waffle?
Wait a minute.
Answer.
As long as it comes from Kiki's. But the spaghetti, you have to mix it up, right? You never eat the noodles by itself or
marinara,
or the meatballs by itself. It all goes together. And that is what Jennifer is talking about. You have to know when to go in and when to pull back. Well, that's waffles, actually. When you start to look at waffles, they have compartments, mm-hmm. which means when you pour syrup on one end, it doesn't necessarily go to the other end unless you move it there. Mm-hmm. And so in life, we have learned to compartmentalize life. And that means I know when to sleep.
Yeah, you know when to slow down.
I know when I have to go take care of my body and work out. I know when I have to read. I know that when I need to be a parent, like we have to go pick our son up soon. But that is what some people need training on. And Jennifer
time
did.
Management.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Work life priorities.
Work life balance.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, the food analogy was great because we never end the show without talking a little bit about, you know, wanting to know where your favorite places to eat, some of your favorite dishes, you know.
Oh, man.
Go for it, honey. Go for it. Well, okay. Well, some of mine, I love I do love Burt's Grill.
Burt's Grill?
Mm-hmm. Isn't it Burt's Grill?
Okay, I'm not. Go ahead. Go ahead. Keep going.
Burt, I thought they closed.
Yeah, Jennifer.
They did?
Yes.
Well, it's been a minute, but I did. Like
Miss Burt, I can tell y'all a story offline about Miss Burt and myself.
Some of the best turkey wings, by the way, ever.
Pierre's when he was down the street from Pierre's. Preston used to squeeze him out of there now, telling you.
Corey LeBoo does a great job with his turkey wings, by the way.
And his shrimp tacos.
Oh, I haven't tried those yet.
With the LeBoo sauce on
saucy.
I haven't had that.
Oh, man, listen, Corey LeBoo is the man with that sauce. I'll tell you this. We love this spot called Tazia's. Taza.
Over at Trenton Plaza.
Yes, And she loves this spicy
sausage
pizza with the honey.
Uh-huh.
Oh man,
oh, yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, and they have this steak and cheese sandwich that I love. My son loves their
salmon.
The salmon, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You ever gone there for brunch?
No.
They have a brunch pizza.
Watch out now.
Oh yeah, with eggs, bacon.
I'm gonna have to go try it.
Oh man, it's great. But that black pepper honey or whatever it is,
it's so good.
It is.
It's
so
spicy,
good.
But it's good. I asked him. It's the sausage that makes it spicy.
It just makes it easier to have that second glass of wine.
We love colas too. Colas is very good.
Oh, you know what I love about colas is that you can go in there and literally nobody knows you.
Yeah.
It's the one restaurant really that you can go into, and it always amazes me. I may recognize like one person, but for the majority, it's different. So I love going in sometimes when I was eating in another restaurant the other day at Terra, and there's only one other table in there. And it was great because you realize how big that's why I love going to Soda City too.
Yeah. You know, we got to go check out Soda City. Yeah,
it's been a while since we've been down there.
Food trucks are down there, and you can pick up some big
I'm telling you, the Mary's Arepas. I go by. There's a lady who lives on Park Street. It's called Off Scratch or Better Off Scratch. She makes old school cinnamon, like yeast rolls, cinnamon rolls.
Mm.
You know, we love the food truck opportunities here in Columbia as well. Loads of flavor. They have some amazing ribs. I think they place fifth in the DOCA. I mean, its ribs are amazing. What's some other food truck we've tried? Of course, like I said, again, Kiki Chicken and Waffle.
Yeah,
that's great.
Their quesadillas are delicious.
You want
shrimp quesadillas are delicious. The Kiki Chicken and Waffles. Oh my goodness.
Three ladies from Latin America that on Decker Boulevard. They have a produce stand and they got a food truck there. Best quesadilla in town.
Really?
What?
I would drive all the way to Decker Boulevard to put my mouth around that quesadilla.
Okay, it's we got to so try good. That.
Oh, yeah. Oh man, there's a new little taco place in West Columbia. Have you ever gone to the Set-Go station on a Saturday?
No. I haven't.
Right, on Saturday, go over to West Columbia, the Set-Go station right there. There's a guy there from... He's either from Peru or I can't remember what country he's from, but he cooks whole chicken, spatchcocks them, you know, where they spread them out and he does ribs. And then he has this green tomatillo chili sauce. Mm. It's Peruvian style. I go over there and buy a slab of ribs at least once a month and a couple chickens. And I even save them for a couple days, serve one on Sunday.
Oh, man, I know that's good.
Oh wow!
Speaking of some good food, it's called Bubblicious. Sid McKeachy, and he has this cone.
They're at Soda City.
Oh yes, yes. And you go in there with that fork and that sauce and them shrimp. Oh man,
great people.
Yeah,
great people.
Awesome food. So
that, but see, all, you know, when you look at so much of that grew out of the pandemic. There's a guy in Earlwood who was making bagels, Ben's Bagels. He's getting ready to open his own shop on Main Street. He was making them. You had to pre-order them, and you could go, like, Wednesday through Saturday, you could go to his house and pick them up.
Wow.
And, you know, I don't know. I can eat my way through Columbia.
I dropped one more. Nothing But Wings.
And you know
okay.
What I, all right,
okay.
All right,
oh,
so
my
let's talk
goodness.
About,
yes.
So you know, I love to go over there and mess with them because they got everything and wings and on the menu. I laughed at them. I said, "How did you come up with this name? You got fish, you got shrimp, you got hot dogs. You have everything."
Yeah. They were one of our sold out Saturday participants.
But their wings is worth the drive.
Oh my goodness!
Over there,
yeah.
Perfect.
And great people. And,
yeah, great people.
And great people.
Oh yeah.
Great
people. Oh man, I every time we're somewhere over there, I pop in. Even if I'm not hungry, I pop in there to say hello. And
that's right. That's
see
right.
them. But what a great family.
Yes, absolutely.
They have, and they're a pillar there. Mm-hmm. You know, they're the spark plug over there. And I see that stretch, you know, I know some people didn't want all the housing there, but that density helps get more places absolutely. Over there, which means we can grow. And that's a gateway to the city.
Yeah.
You know, and that is a gateway. We see it, you know, I go over there and see the Wrights over at House of Hather every once in a while that's when right. I'm down that way. And then I'll stop in there. And now I think we're getting urgent care in the old.
Good.
I think that's what's going in that. Right next door to Nothing But Wings in the
across
yeah.
What was that? CVS, the Eckerd's. Eckerd's. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But that pocket, we're gonna see it grow. But hey, for culinary challenges or if you just need a little soul yeah. or whatever, stop by Grace. They'd love to have you. They'd love to have you. If you want to check out, we're going to share all the information from Rare Leaders and Sold Out Saturdays and the Bishop Speak. We really didn't talk a lot, but you did speak. So I guess that was part of it.
So the finance, just go to bishopspeaks.com. It's a great website, easy to navigate. That's bishopspeaks.com. And everything we do is right there.
Right there. All right. You heard it here, folks. Go on there, click it, join it, support it. Check out all these stores and the businesses. Let's show Columbia what a great community we are, and let's keep supporting our small businesses and supporting each other as we continue to grow as are on our way to be the number one city in South Carolina.
Absolutely.
Thanks for being here, y'all. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
Enjoyed it.
Until next time.